Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show, so stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.
This is To The Point, a Rhino Experience, voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts, cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up To The Point listeners? It's your boy, Chris, along with my co-host, Mr. Chad Peterman. Chad, guess what, buddy? I have something special on the way for you.
What you got?
Your Rhino X award.
Did you find it?
We have located the award, and it will be on its way to Peterman Brothers facility in care of Chad Peterman.
There we go. I like it.
Congrats, Chad.
Thanks, man. Yeah, that was a few months back, but we're gonna make it happen.
February.
At least we found it.
Yeah, I didn't even know you didn't have it the whole time. I was like, holy shit! And then so they end up finding it. So anyway, it's on its way to you.
Perfect.
But that's not why we're on here. I just want to bring you up to speed. This is actually, I was telling Chad beforehand, and even Josie, who's our guest today, that I had one of those mornings, man, where I was like, there's no way I'm making it today. Like, I felt like crap. And you woke up with the cold sweats and like all that stuff. And so I've been powering through today because I've pushed this thing off a couple different times. And not because I wanted to, Josie. It's not you, it's me. But I got my friend Josie Parks on here as the CEO and the newest owner of SVG and the Windstorm Conference. Nice. Good serial entrepreneur, badass sales guy. Also, his biggest year was, I think he said, just over $6 million in sales. Built and led a massive sales team for another big company. We actually officially met at the Waste Management Open last year, like physically. Yeah. I heard of you, but we met by our friend, mutual friend, Sean McGraw, who introduced us. And we just hit it off, man, like right off the bat. And I think one thing I'll just share real quick about our guests, and then just for those listening right now, this particular episode, you know, yes, he is owner of running Wind the Storm Conference, which Rhino is the title sponsor of for this year. It's exciting. Now, we have participated previously, you know, but didn't quite, you know, like we weren't on quite the same page as the previous owner in regards to just, you know, how we like to go to market and like just kind of what we're about. But Josie is those things, and, you know, I'm excited for what he's doing with it. So, but one thing we're going to hit on too is just, you know, this guy's also phenomenal in sales. I think there's something to learn here about sales tactics and also his leadership perspective. So we're going to hit on a few of those things. But number one, Josie, we finally got it done. You're here. Welcome to The Point.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. Honored. You know, it's like a fine wine, bro. I was just waiting and waiting, getting better over time.
That's exactly the way I think of this podcast, is it's like a fine wine.
Yeah.
it's the first thing I think of is fine wine. So I'm excited to have you on, buddy, too. And just to kind of share, you know, again, you were, I forget what size, what the heck size was it's CMR, right? That was a big, what they were mad.
We were well over nine figures. And so it was a great run. And so
you built these like sales team from like 30 something to like 300 or some ridiculous amount, which I can't even imagine managing 300 salespeople. Dear God.
So, developing leaders, you know, and finding the people that want a opportunity and seize the moment and grow a team. And so, yeah, it was great. We went from 34 reps to 300 in about 3 years.
Yeah, that's incredible, man. I mean, obviously, you know, we're at a significantly different level than Chad and I are. I think we have a handful of sales reps, not so much 300.
I got about as many as you started with. So I think we got on the HVAC side, we're at about 30 or so, I think. So I guess, Josie, one of the questions I would have that I'm sure listeners are, you know, interested in probably understanding to scale a team like that, obviously takes a lot of infrastructure and process and procedure. But like having viewed 300 people, obviously you probably have a leaderboard. What kind of kind of separated the best from the rest? Like what were the things? And I think, you know, hiring salespeople is always a weird one, right? Because I have people from all different types of backgrounds. So it's not like, well, hire people from this industry because they're going to be perfect. It's like, well, hell, you know, I got people that are former pastors. I got car sales guys. I got people who sold cell phones. Like they're all over the place. What were kind of the traits that you guys looked for when scaling to that, that level?
You know, it's interesting. We identified a real problem. And when we were bringing in reps from other companies, it didn't fit well. And we realized like going and recruiting from the industry and bringing them in, they always had, oh, we used to do it this way. We always like to do it this way. And so you have a lot of competing thoughts. And so as a leader in your business, your job is to cast that vision so other people's vision fits within yours. And so we were obviously pushing growth and the opportunities here. And so we always looked at, you know, rookies, you know, people just coming in looking for an opportunity and want to seize the moment, and people that really were competitive. So one thing that we always talked about is the, you know, opportunities we have when it comes to growth. But most importantly is like, look, this is a pretty competitive culture. And so if you're someone that you were in sports when you were growing up, it's you're much more likely to succeed. And so we'd really want to tap into that competitive side of people. You call it the prey drive, right? And so one thing that we always found, as I'm sure in your business, you know, 20% of your reps are going to get you 80% of the results. So we still have that where we had certain guys that just outproduced. But one thing we were really proud of is through those years, you know, one of the years we had 91 reps sell over $1 million. And so in the roofing industry, I don't know how many companies have actually achieved that to where 91 million dollar producers. And so it was a big achievement. And it comes to development, you know, developing your people. I feel like too many times leaders bring people in, they put them in the onboarding process, and they're not consistent with personal development, with really helping them. Because at the end of the day, Chad, you know, you're talking about people, you're essentially a counselor. That's what really sucks about managing so many reps, so many teams, is you're like a camp counselor. And really, like, the personal life is so important to the professional life. And, you know, understanding where they're at in their personal life is super important. And then, you know, we always had rep goals. And so we would break it down to say, hey, what's your goal? What are you trying to accomplish here? Why are you here? And once you understand that, how much money, okay, I have a formula that can help you achieve your goals, but you have to commit to this. So we literally make them sign what their goal was, and we would build action steps. How many doors do they need to knock? How many inspections? How many closed? How many built? Obviously, you have to build it. But that's where it's like we would make sure their goals fit within our team goals. So when I started, we had 3 team leaders. At the end, we had 12 team leaders. And so, I mean, really, Chad, I'd say it's like personal development and proving out a process, because people don't scale, processes scale. And so we had a process for recruiting, onboarding, training, and too many leaders put them in and they don't show them success. And I think it's critical that when a new rep comes into your business, they taste it, they feel it, they understand the success that is going to get them their goals. And it's not just throwing them out to the wolves. And I think too many companies don't have a real training and onboarding that shows a rep success. So we also had a model where we brought people in, they had to start as canvassers, setters. And then once they set a certain amount of inspections, then they could then move up, because we know, like, hey, if you're not even going to knock to get the lead, there's no chance you're going to knock to get the sell. And so we just found over time ways to do that. We did, you know, I did massive group interviews, which a lot of people don't like, but, you know, I was one to many in those. And that's really was one of the easiest ways that I found to scale a team like that. But I had great team leaders. And so you can't do it alone. You still need people to manage that process. And so that's where I would say just the competitive prey drive, finding those types of people, your chances of success are much greater.
That was a hell of a first question. Just Chad, just rapid fire it off the bat, man. That was awesome. Attaboy.
I'm only asking questions to address our issues, Chris. I'm trying to find answers here. So sorry. I got notes.
I knew what you were doing. My brain immediately goes to, well, Josie, why don't you just go spend about a week at Repford? You just showed you how to do it, okay? bring those 91 guys with you or gals with you, because I really like to see them do the same thing for Redbird Roofing.
Yeah.
Well, and what's interesting is that, I mean, Josie actually is a serial entrepreneur. He's done, he's involved. He actually has like multiple businesses. And I didn't know about, you know, the history until you and I talked about it. And then Josie came out to Phoenix and we end up staying in your suite, Chad. And hanging out.
Hopefully the light switch was fixed.
The light switch was working just fine.
Yeah, that's great. Operator error.
But we were just talking just about a little bit more of it, of his history. And he uses this one word that stood out to me. And I was like, I thought I had an idea what he meant by it. But it was a word that I've heard him now say many, many times. And that Josie is an actioneer. And so, Josie, why don't you explain what an actioneer is?
An actioneer, it's all of us, right? I call it visioneering and actioneering. We all have a vision for our future. And I feel like too many times in life, we have analysis paralysis, right? We're analyzing everything before we're actually taking action. And so I want to be an actioneer in my life, which means I want to engineer my future. But it's required to take action. And too many times, we're thinking versus acting. Thoughts lead to action. Action leads to results. We're not perfect thought-making machines. Action is where you measure the results. And so that's where I picked it up, I don't know, probably 10 years ago. I just started like claiming I'm an actioneer and finding people that take audacious action. Bro, you're actioneering your future, which means you're creating the future you want. We were created to create. And so it's up to us to really be the change we want to see. And so that's where, you know, I don't think we talk about action enough and execution. And there's, you know, a lot of people that talk about concepts and ideas, strategies, but you just got to start taking action, measure the results, adjust your action, and take more action. So actioneer your future.
Got it. So this actually makes me think about a conversation I was having with one of our team leaders was around, instead of having like, you know, daily goal meetings, it was like, why don't we talk about like daily tasks meetings? Like, what are we actually accomplishing in let's not talk about what we're going to do. Let's talk about what we just did and what we have to do. And that way there's like actually something tangible with it that's being executed on or done on its way to whatever that goal was. So that's an action here, right? Somebody's actually taking action. And now we're measuring based on action items.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. So were you doing this kind of training? I mean, you're leading 300 salespeople and you got a lot of sales team leaders. I would have them, you know, in the roofing world, it is, you do it. If you're doing a ton of canvassing, door knocking, whatever, like that's like, you have to take action. Otherwise you're not making any sales, right? You're not making any money. So is this something that where you think about, you know, you have 300 people out, you know, knocking doors. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, it's like, does that work across, like, would that work in Chad's business? Like, could you go and just knock doors in the plumbing or HVAC business? I'm sure there's probably something there. Mm-hmm. Here there is. Chad, have you ever done anything like that in your guys' world?
I haven't. I'd like to. I think it can work. I've talked to guys who make it work, especially like water treatment. There's a guy out in California that's doing it. I think it can be done for sure. I think people are so scared of like knocking on someone's doors today, but like people still do the same stuff that they did. Like they'll answer their door. And like, if you got something like it will, I think it's just getting over that like hump. That fear of knocking on their door and someone coming to the door. And then we always tell technicians in our business, like, we are the last frontier of face-to-face sales, like sitting down at a kitchen table selling something. I mean, now, like, I know there's plenty of people around the office. They're like, yeah, I just bought my wife a car, never went to the dealership, just texted with the sales guy and then went and signed the papers and picked it up off the lot. But for us, like roofing, you know, HVAC, like we have to go to the home to evaluate what we have. And that's like kind of the last piece of face-to-face sales.
Yeah.
Attention to the point, listeners. Branding has never been more important. Is your brand in serious need of an upgrade? Do you have a new company and need a new brand, but don't want to wait 6 months or pay a ridiculous amount to get it done? If your brand looks like everyone else's, well, guess what? You are everyone else. But prolific? They build brands that dominate, from the first Google search to the driveway. Prolific brand design can help you be more of you, because you are the unique difference that sets you apart from all your competitors. So let's be real for a second. Your brand is either winning you customers or costing you money. Just ask some of our clients like Ken Goodrich, Ishmael Valdez, my boy Chad Peterman, and even myself. Prolific Brand Design is the creative pros behind some of the best home services logos, truck wraps, websites, and now email marketing campaigns. Wouldn't you love it if your email marketing open rates were 30, 40, 50% and don't go into the spam folder hell? That's how we roll at Prolific. So check them out at prolificbranddesign.com and ask for the To The Point promo, Prolific Brand Design. Be more of you. Be prolific.
I would say about canvassing, you know, if you think back to like the old siding window salespeople, I mean, it was, they're at a ton of canvassing back then. And then kind of the industry started to move away to digital, which digital is great. Where I feel like there's a competitive advantage with canvassing in regards to targeting, there's a lot of noise in the market. And so if you can do a good job of identifying possible customers and communities, so you think about, you have a plumbing company, Chris?
I don't. Chad does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Y'all are partners on the roof.
Yeah. So Chad has a big HVAC and plumbing company. And okay. But not me.
So if I was started, I'd be like, hey, where are we getting the most leads that are converting? And so I would take the data and I would say, where are we converting the highest? Obviously, this area has all cast iron. The age of the homes are 35 years plus. And so I'm going to take some data, I'm going to analyze it, and I'm going to send a canvassing team out there because I know our closing rate's higher. I know there's higher demand there. And I know there's a lot of noise in the market. A lot of people probably want in that. So I'm going to cut through that marketing, and I'm going to go directly face-to-face, belly-to-belly, and I'm going to knock those doors. And so that's where I think, you know, whenever you analyze data and you look at success in certain areas, zip codes, regions, like that's where I would start a canvassing team, is where you know the need is there. And that was like a big part of our success is targeting. We used AI to find all the tile roofs because we only did tile roofs. And so we used AI to find all the tile roofs. I scraped all the building code to figure out who had already replaced the roof. So I knew who had an aged tile roof, who had already replaced it, leaving my target of these, you know, specific homes. And then I direct mail them, email marketing, OTT, every single way I could interact with those. Then I'd have reps show up. When the reps show up, they're like, y'all are everywhere. What do I got to do to get you to leave me alone? You know? And so there's supporting the canvassing efforts with digital, direct mail, and others. I mean, that's where I feel like that is like the most effective way of marketing, is bringing it all together.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we talk about it today. We haven't actioned on it, but it's an idea in my notebook over here, is to, you know, I think about if you are an HVAC contractor, which I know there's a lot that listen, like, you know, what if you could take your list, your membership list, and segment it by zip code and or by neighborhood? Like if you could drill it down to a neighborhood, what if you could schedule, if you had, you know, 15 customers in a neighborhood, what would it look like if you ran maintenance for all 15 customers in that neighborhood on the same day, and then layered over canvassers touching all the other people while they answer their front door and see all of your trucks throughout the neighborhood? Not only are you super efficient because your guy doesn't even have to move his truck, he's just got to walk to the next customer's house and do the maintenance on it. But then you, to your point, direct mail maybe a week before, and then like you get that owning the zip code. I always tell people who are smaller, I'm like, well, you know, yeah, it's great to be in a big MSA where you can take a lot of leads, but like, what's it look like if, you know, if you're in one zip code, if you just own that zip code? Like, how do I just own this zip code? Because they already see my trucks. They already know that I'm really local. Like, what are all the things that I can do? And I think canvassing is a part of that. Like, get out there and meet people, like talk to them, like maybe they need your service. So, you know, show them that you're there. I think that's a super, super good point for sure.
nothing to it but to do it. Chad, you already got the framework, baby. Go actioneer it. Let's get it.
I know. Sad thing is, I don't know that I could knock on a door. I don't quite have that personality. So I've got to build the team and then we'll make it. Chris is laughing because he knows that it's true. Yeah, I would be a terrible door knocker. I'd be so scared.
I don't believe it. There's something about rejection, but once you get a handful of them, then you're like, actually, this doesn't hurt me. You know, some do, some don't. So what? On to the next.
You would think I would know all about that. I first met my wife when I was 14 and she didn't start dating me until I was 26. So I should know all about rejection.
Chad's actually more of a Christmas caroler. That's what he's more for.
Exactly. That's me. Right. You hit it on the head.
You know, here's one thing I think about when you're the homeowner, especially now with you got Ring cameras, you have all this stuff, right? So if somebody approaches your door, and they're a stranger, we immediately go into like a defensive mode, right? Like a protective mode. At least I do still, right? Like, and I've heard like a couple different ways that people approach it. Like if you have your nice uniform and people recognize your brand, that's one thing. I think if the Peterman Brothers technician walks up to a door and somebody looks outside and sees it, they might not think like too much about it. Right. Maybe. I don't know. But if you don't have a brand and you just walk up to a house and you got your clipboard, I'm immediately suspicious, right? Like you got your clipboard. What are you trying to sell me before I've even said a word to you? Right. Like that's what you kind of have to deal with that. So I've heard about people who would, walk up to the doors with their, like, you know, vests on, you know, like the yellow vest, the orange vest, you kind of look like you're maybe doing something, and which kind of, I guess, brings down the wall a little bit. Cause you're like, oh, there must be something happening, you know? And then they open the door and just kind of like shit. It was just a sales pitch again. Right, so like, you've had to deal with this. What are some of these tactics that people are doing, or at least some of the best tactics when approaching these doors, you know, to kind of bring that wall down fast that you've experienced or that you used to train on with your sales team?
Yeah. A pattern interrupt, you know, and that's really what it comes down to, is because obviously the loudest voice in any conversation is in their mind. So you haven't even had an opportunity and they're already preconceived notion that you're already here to do bad. And so immediately a pattern interrupt. I'm a huge fan of question-based selling. And so leading it off, obviously introducing yourself with a smile and a question, starting off with the question. Hey, and this is a lot of roofing companies do the whole, you know, I'm sure you saw our trucks in the neighborhood. We were doing Mr. Jones' house down the street. I just wanted to make sure that you knew about our company. And so there's, you know, the introduction, but then there's like, and by the way, have you had your roof inspected after recent storms? I'm not sure if you're aware, but a lot of the customers, when you saw those roofs replaced, they didn't actually pay out of pocket for that. They were able to save $20,000-$30,000 because their insurance identified damage on the roof and they did a full roof replacement. So have you actually had your insurance out yet? So it's like breaking through credibility, pattern interrupt, asking a question, showing that there's value that is in the marketplace that you can get too, and you don't have to pay out of pocket. Except your deductible.
See, if you led with that for me, I'd already be like, maybe it's because I'm, you know, because I have sales background. All I'm thinking about is that he's just asking me questions, you know, leading me down the path to get me where he wants me to go. And that's why it's like, God, I struggle with it. But maybe that's the most people. Like, so you still kind of like got to find, you know, the right. But there's only one way to find out, right? You got to keep knocking.
Yeah. Well, and that's where, like, you know, bringing in humor, obviously connect. If I walked up to your house, I'd be like, whoa, man, how did you get this house? Dude, you're like awesome. And you're young, you're good looking. Like, come on, tell me, you know, I would start with something like that.
Yeah, we're tied, Chad. Hey, yeah. No.
You're good looking. I didn't know about the young part. That was the part that tripped me up.
That's a part that you want. Not feeling very young.
Yeah.
Making sure people are aware. I mean, there's awareness aspect, problem awareness, you know, with question-based selling, making sure people are aware of a problem they may not have been familiar with. And a lot of people, you know, when you see home service vehicles, you see construction going on in your neighborhood, it usually piques some curiosity. And so that is where, like, problem awareness, so people are aware, and then solution comes in. But, you know, question-based selling, I feel like a lot of people don't push enough on, but I'm a huge believer in pattern interrupts. And so each neighborhood's a bit different. If you're a higher end area, you're going to connect differently. If you're, you know, average you know, blue collar area, working class, you know, you're going to have a different pitch, but you got to adjust to the market. That's how we always did it.
When you were having to do, like, can you imagine if you had, and maybe you did, but can you imagine having a tool like, well, we have Rillo as one of our sponsors who gets to, like, you know, it's basically like a virtual ride along now, or it's recording the door knockers conversations or even the sales pitches in the house. So that way you as a coach or a leader could go back, listen to it, and then coach a rep without actually having to be there. I don't know if you had any tools like that, but you guys must have been having to do like tons of sales training on this type of stuff. Like, I'm guessing, right? Because there's,
And
role playing is like the thing that most people, everybody hates to do, but it's like such it's such an impactful tool to like actually do role play.
It's critical. Like every single sales meeting, you have to role play. Because, you know, Rilla wasn't available, and, you know, with all of our canvassers to pay, it would have been pretty difficult. It's pretty meaty there. But definitely role playing. A lot of people, you know, they don't want to do role playing because it's uncomfortable. It's the most uncomfortable in front of your peers. So if you can master it here, imagine what you can do at the door to someone who's not familiar with what is the right pitch. And so, you know, having a training platform is huge. We actually used to use SVG. It's a roofing training platform. And so having, you know, best practices, industry standards, and then building your own video library content. But, you know, mastering the presentation. I mean, a sell comes down to a masterful presentation. And, you know, thinking about technology, Chris, whenever I started in the game, you know, there was no tracking apps. There wasn't Sales Rabbit, Spotio, all these others. So I used to have a black notebook writing all the addresses down. Then I started using EveryTrail. Have you ever heard of AllTrails?
Nope.
It's a bike trail app, camping app, all this. But I used to have my reps sign into now AllTrails, and it would track everywhere they had driven. And so we could drop pins so we could know the houses we were knocking when a storm hit. We could isolate the actual ground truth of the storm. So we started to use technology to advance our strategy. Then it got to where canvassing apps came along where you could drop pins on all the doors. I could assign areas. I call it cutting turf. So like areas that this rep's going to be working. Then you can look at areas, time of day, day of the week, you know, and then of knocks to answered. So then you can find patterns and consistency in certain areas where they're more likely to be home. Then you can find like certain reps do better with certain range of home values. And so like the technology aspect of it, like, man, it would have been incredible to have things like Rilla and others, you know, way back in the day, because they're role playing. They could sit there and role play on their phone all day long and not in a company meeting. And so there's a lot of value with technology. I'm a huge believer in technology advances strategy. And one last thing that I used to do is we would profile, you know, so we would get data on all the consumers in a market. And so we actually knew the type of buyer. And so I have a company called Think Unlimited where we match the right rep to the right appointment. And it all started from doing that on the doors. And so now we put over $10 billion of one revenue through our platform, Think Unlimited. And it's all about predicting revenue from a company value and a rep value and assigning the right rep to the right appointment. So it's technology changes the game.
Most of all your sales stuff was around insurance-based, the storm business, right? Like not so much retail?
No, I did comp to metal upgrades and insurance replacements, metal roof. So I only did metal for like the first 12, 13 years of my career.
Right. But some of this stuff is like, it's like, you know, it didn't matter if it was metal or whatever. Like some of this stuff, the sales tactics are the tactics. Like you still got to go.
Totally.
Yeah. So
yeah, but I think, I was just going to kind of double click on what you were talking about with the data, because I think this is impactful for regardless of what you're selling, home services alone. Like you have to understand your data. Like if you've got a sales rep and he's closing at this percentage, like you can only do like you can train until you've got to kind of manipulate the outcomes. And I think there's a number of softwares out there now that are doing a great job of this. But, you know, I remember when we first started, it was just a spreadsheet. We started with who do they close? And then we moved to like, what's the demographics? And then we moved to home value. And we just started adding all these data points so that we could understand what rep needs to go to what call to set them up for success. Like, hey, Bill, I know you seem to do better with the older customers in this kind of area. It seems like you've got that pitch nailed. And it could be for a number of reasons. Maybe, you know, maybe he's older. Maybe he, you know, grew up in the area, so he's got a lot to talk about with the people. But I think it's so impactful to understand that data. And there's so much technology out there that getting the data is easier than ever. I mean, we're pulling down. I mean, for us right now, we pull down when you call in, I'm basically pulling every piece of information I can off of online. I'm pulling every piece of information I have on you so that then I can make a determination on who should actually go to that call and what is that call worth to me. And obviously, you can get super granular, but I think it's important for every contractor to understand that right tech to the right call will set you up for success and can improve conversion rates. It may be just a little with one data point, but over time, as you add data points in there, all of a sudden your conversion rate starts to jump and you're wondering, well, like Bill, he's still the same guy, but he seems to be closing at 5% higher than he did last year. Well, why is that? Well, we're setting him up with the right opportunities.
That's exactly right. And, you know, to elaborate on that a bit, we've seen that with our data, if a company does round robin assignments, and there's still a lot of companies that do that, when they bolt on our technology, their increase in closing percentage on average is 17%. And if a sales manager is sitting there assigning, it's 10%. So that shows the difference with a sales manager who knows his rep, knows the market, and knows which rep to send to which appointment. It's a huge difference. But then you add property attributes, demographic, economic indicators, all the other attributes that you can bring in, and then it looks at historical performance, and it can predict the future. So, I mean, it's crazy what you can do with data, actionable insights. It's not just having the data, but how do you take action off the data? That's what counts. Yeah.
If you've been listening to this show, you'll know that I only talk about tools that actually help our team. And BlueOn is definitely one of those. At Peterman Brothers, our techs are using BlueOn every single day. It's become their go-to resource. It really is like having a senior tech in your pocket. They can scan a unit, get all the model data, wiring diagrams, parts, and even troubleshoot with BlueOn's AI. We've seen fewer callbacks, faster fixes, and happier techs. And that's why I'm such a big believer in BlueOn, because it actually works. So do yourself a favor, click on the link in the description and book a quick demo with the BlueOn team to see it in action.
Well, if you're sitting there as a contractor and you're thinking that your dispatcher doesn't have a favorite technician who they're sending to the best calls because they like them the best and they're the nicest to them, you're wrong. All right. So you have to use data because feelings will get in the way. Just similar to your example with the sales manager, you know, in a lot of contracting businesses, a dispatcher who's like, you know, I just really like Bill. Well, Bill can't close a book. So Bill's killing us out there. So stop sending them to all the best calls.
Yeah. Kill Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they know how to sweeten the pie with the call center.
Oh, yeah.
That's why
cookies.
They're coming out.
Yeah. Cookies, donuts. I've seen all the tricks in the book.
I never really thought about sending the right person to the right, neighborhood. I mean, I guess it makes total sense when you guys say it out loud. Yeah. I guess you'd want somebody who could actually speak to something about the neighborhood to connect.
Well, yeah.
Well, because some reps price, they're nervous with price. If they're going into a home and it's in a higher ticket item, they're more nervous. They're not as confident. So once you hit over a certain threshold, they lose confidence. Whereas another rep, he's like, oh man, yes, like this is value to them. I can't wait to close this deal. Like, give me more of these. So, you know, with knocking, there were a lot of reps, you know, they were scared to knock huge houses because they felt intimidated by the status of that person. So no, rep assignments, I feel like it's one of the most underserved things in the market. And it's the future. So I'm glad to see Chad sharing some data on that and how it's increased his closing percentage.
Yeah. Well, and we've seen it too, just with like simple things. Like if the guy grew up in that area, like more than likely that homeowner, you know, like we're in Greenwood, Indiana, which is just south of Indy. Well, if I got a rep who went to Greenwood High School and played sports and all of this stuff, the likelihood of him being able to build a bond of like, oh, do you know so-and-so? Oh yeah, I played baseball with him. And like you, it's a heck of a lot easier to build a relationship with that customer. And then they're doing business because they know, like, and trust you because, hey, you know, my, you know, my neighbor three doors down and you used to play in the neighborhood when you were a kid and all this stuff. And it becomes more of an emotional thing than it is a price thing, than it is a, you know, company thing, whatever it may be. So I think it's extremely powerful and you can find these like weird trends. I mean, we've seen it with reps. We're like, why does this person do so well with these people? Mm-hmm. And then you sit down and then you kind of start to understand like, oh, okay, I get it. Like, you know, whatever the case may be, like they can connect with the, with this demographic a hell of a lot better than anybody else on our team.
Exactly.
Chad used to use the, this is a fun fact to all of our listeners that they don't know about Chad that I do know. Is he, what he used to use to connect was the fact that he used to be a flute player in the junior high band. I think it was the flute, right? Or maybe it was just the recorder. I can't remember.
I played instruments for 1 year because I had to, and then I was done.
Yeah. What did you play?
I played the clarinet in fifth grade.
No shit. Picked you for a clarinet player.
I wouldn't have picked myself for a clarinet player. I was pretty terrible. So that was all good.
Made it 1 year.
1 year.
Well, nice try, buddy. Yeah. Yeah, I can't picture that, but that's great. Maybe we need to revisit that.
Let's keep talking about sales, shall we?
I want to make a little hard pivot for a second because Josie just recently did a little mini retreat with a group of contractors that you were talking to me about. I thought maybe what we'd do is because, I mean, some of those guys came out and then hit me up on Facebook. I don't know if you said something or what or like how we got connected, but like two people like reached out to me. I can't remember their names off the top of my head, but that were in that picture with you that were just part of the group.
Yeah.
One dude covered with tattoos, younger. They're all young. They looked like pretty young guys.
Yeah. 32 and under is that group and doing over $5 million in revenue.
Each of them are doing, or what do you mean? They're 32 and under, and they're all over $5 million.
Yeah, $5 million or more last year in built and collected revenue. So that's you got to hit that standard to even be in the group.
Oh, okay. So this is something that you have that's existing. And what I wanted to know is like you came out of that thing like fired up because I know you messaged me. So what was it? It wasn't like it was a really long thing. What was it that you were going over with these, you know, with this group, you know, like, was there something like do you have like this, you know, this like a training regiment that you follow when you do something like this? Like what is it that you're doing that, you know, that what seemed like it had you all fired up?
Yeah. So I've always attended masterminds, hired consultants. And so I've been a part of a lot and, you know, I was really thinking like, man, with the future and the, it's not a diss, but there's a lot of gurus out there that sit there and sell courses, sell information online that have never actually built businesses. And so I feel like there's a lack of real business builders in the market. And so for When the Storm, I have the young roofing professionals. And what that is like leaders coming up in the industry that are young, that I believe will be the future leaders of the industry. Let's equip them. Let's give them tools, information. And so they were all getting together. So I'm like, hey, let me put a mastermind together for y'all and just drop some knowledge on you and save you some time and compound your time with results. And so I had one of my buddies, Alec, he runs his company's about $140 million company. I had him come. He has the core four leadership. It's core four of leadership. And so he came and basically did his training. And it's to evaluate you as a leader. How do you show up in your leadership style and abilities? And where are your weaknesses? And so there's like a 24 question thing that tells you exactly where you're at as a leader. So we went through that exercise. The importance of leading from the front. And that's one thing that I really trained on and focused on. All of my leaders need to be out in the field working with their guys, keeping the momentum going. So I had my buddy Raymond, who's actually now a partner with me at SVG. He has a multiple nine-figure business. He sold his roofing company to private equity, and now he's coming as a business builder. And so he came and shared the, you know, leading from the front focus and exercises. Then I had another buddy of mine who sold his business for multiple eight figures. And he came and we actually did a breathwork session. And so I don't know, many listeners have done breathwork before, but there's something about slowing the mind down and letting your true self come out. And so none of them had done breathwork before, and then, you know, crying in it at the end of it. And it's a crazy experience if you've, you know, done a 30-minute breathwork session, which sounds crazy. And all of them at the start were like, not about it, but at the end, and they all had revelations through that, like of what they're lacking in their business or what they're really excited about. And so they had actionable things that they could take from just sitting there, not even really thinking, but just breathing. And so it was, you know, leadership, it was leading from the front, and it was like mindset mastery. And then I also had one of my buddies, Zanti, who's an artist, who came and, you know, he shared as a creator. We're all creators, right? And, you know, words matter. What you make matters. And when you talk, you create matter. And so really it was taking it back from like, not just so much tasks like in business and what you're usually talking about, but being in a group where other leaders that are going through a similar journey and sharing best practices. And as you're growing in your business, what are some things to watch out for? What are blind spots? And what are ways that I can get better as a leader? And I have people in the room that are actually going through a similar journey. And so I think it's just super impactful when you can develop yourself as a leader and have community of people you can go to that are going through similar struggles and overcoming and lessons that you've learned to where you don't have to make the same mistake. So it was really cool. And, you know, we're actually going to be growing that into a mastermind and doing a lot more of those events. That was a long explanation. Apologize for that there, Chris.
No, it's not. We don't have gurus in our industry, in our HVAC and plumbing industry, do we, Chad?
None. But I think that's extremely impactful, Josie. And I think so many people, because of kind of the infiltration of, you know, people who may not have built something, and that doesn't mean that they're wrong or they don't have good advice, but I think it's important to understand who you're taking advice from. And I commend you for helping out all of these young people. I mean, you know, I feel like, well, I don't feel like every day I get a little bit older. You know, I find myself going to these conferences and being like, God, that kid is freaking smart. Like he's got to, and I'm like, did I just call him a kid? Yeah. But no, I think it's important for anybody. There's so many resources out there. You've got to be selective and pick the right ones, but like there's so much help in the room. And that's what I love about the contracting space. Obviously, I'm new to the roofing space. I've been in the HVAC, plumbing, electrical space for a long time. But like we need to embrace the fact that so many people are willing to help.
Yeah.
Like it is a community. There's so much business out there that it's not a competition thing. It's not a whatever. It is people are willing to help. And I think we need to embrace that, because there's a lot of, I think, negativity around kind of as companies get bigger and there's more spotlight on the, you know, home services, that, you know, there's, you know, bad actors, and there probably are, but I'm kind of an eternal optimist, and that, you know, I just want to be friends with everybody and like everybody and hope for the best. So congrats on doing that. I'm sure that those guys, especially young up and comers, really appreciate that, you know, kind of that step up, and it'll be fun. I think for you, it's like, wait 10 years, wait 5 years and see where they're at. And then like them to come back and say, hey, that was like super impactful. Like you changed my life. Like that's so cool.
Yeah. And some of the feedback, it's been pretty crazy just from one weekend, what they're able to take away. And that's part of the reason like doing it, because, you know, I hired my first consultant when I was 21 years old. I was paying $8,000 a month for a consultant to come into my business. And after like a year, I was like, man, like, I feel like I'm getting kind of bad advice, like going in the wrong direction. Come to find out, the dude never built anything. It was just like a sales focus, but he was advising me on my entire company, changing the direction of my business. And throughout many years, you know, I've always invested in coaches, consultants, and all that. And I just think there's something powerful about been there, done that, where business builders can actually give back. And that's the heart of it, is like, hey, you know, I want to save you some time, right? Because you get one life. And we got to maximize the opportunity and seize the moment. And so I'm definitely optimistic like you, Chad. And I used to be the young guy. People would always tell me when they found out I owned a business, they'd be like, I have a pair of shoes older than you, boy. What do you know about roofing? You know, and I'm like, all right, whatever, bro. So
yeah. But I think that's too a great point for people looking for mentors, is that if you're looking for mentors, you have to be willing to work too. Mm-hmm. Because the last thing that probably any of the three of us want to do is like invest time in someone who's not willing to put in the work. Yeah. Like I'll have calls, I'll do anything you want on a weekly basis. If you're a guy who or a gal who's willing to put in the work and you're going to go do the things, like, shoot, like, let's go build something together. I mean, even though I have the only benefit I have is to, you know, say that I helped you and, you know, you're doing great things and taking care of your family and doing all these great things. But I think if you're looking for a mentor and you're looking for them to give you all the answers, that's the wrong approach. Mm-hmm. What you've got to, like, they're going to help you, but you still have to do all of the hard work and you got to be willing to do that. And I think that's important when it comes to this mentor mentee relationship that people need to understand is, you know, you got to be willing to come to the plate and be willing to do it. And there's plenty of people that are willing to help you.
Yeah. Well, Chad, you knew this. I can't remember, Josie, if you saw this or not, but I went to just over a year ago now, I went to this Rise Up Kings event, which was something that was amazing for me. 3 days. It was hard. I was incredibly uncomfortable with most of it, which is good, right? That's when you kind of get some of the good shit out, is when you're so uncomfortable. And they did a really, really great job of making you feel super uncomfortable. but it was actually ended up turning out to be awesome. And so just past the year anniversary, you know, I had a group of, you know, guys that were in that same, you know, same thing as me. And some of them I still have a pretty good relationship with because you basically all opened up and share all your shit. So it's kind of like you pretty much put yourself out there. Yeah. But I just hired a coach, like, and he was a coach for that thing, but I hired him kind of on the side. Now he lives here in Phoenix, which worked out great. And ex-military guy, spent a ton of time, you know, on overseas, like in the shit, like in it. And, but also has a little business, a little $20 million plus business out here. And like, so he kind of gets business, but I hired him more so just to hold me accountable. Mm. You know, and I can have conversations with that I maybe can't have with anybody else. And it's just to try to keep me like locked in because I don't really have anybody to hold me accountable for, you know, for anything. I mean, I hold myself accountable, but you know what I'm talking about. I need somebody who I can like get with and talk through things with me, you know, and like just kind of listen. So, to me, that was important just so I can be like, hey, man, am I thinking about this the right way? You know, or he's going to, you know, challenge me to do other things I don't want to do, which is part of the, what I, you know, part of how I've always learned is I would go and do the Spartan races. I do not like to run, which is the whole reason I would do it. Right. It's just to go and do it and accomplish it and remind me that I'm in control of myself.
Yeah.
But I did get a coach. So I do want to segue because I want to make sure with time left that I want to talk about Win the Storm. And I think it's important because, you know, you know, I was involved with it for a couple of years as Rhino. We were kind of coming into this insurance-based conference. And I was trying to talk retail back then. Well, this is before I had a roofing business. And I learned real quick. Shit don't always go as planned. Because we started out as a retail company that immediately diverted into the insurance business that we were not prepared to handle. It wasn't my vibe. It kind of wasn't what I was about then. And then when I met you and I heard that you bought it and we learned a little bit about each other, you know, your character, what your purpose is for it, like the things you want to do very much are aligned with like Chad and I's thought. Like we want to continue to give back and help others and do these things. And that's why I was bought in on it. So I am excited to be back, you know, and speak main stage, which is cool. Can help kick off the event with you. It's just, I told you the reason I did it was because I believe in you and I believe your vision for it and what you wanted to accomplish with it. And I could align with that. So it feels good, right, to kind of go and give back to this group. But I also want to learn as much as I possibly can from this thing, you know, now that I'm kind of in the industry as a roofing contractor, owner, and like just, you know, learn all the things. But I want you to just explain, like, dude, you have all these other companies. Why in the hell did you just, you know how hard it is to run these things? You see how hard it is to run these things, man. They're so freaking difficult. There's so many moving parts to these events, and this thing is big.
Yeah.
In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, HouseCall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads, capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game.
What were you thinking, bro? Why did you do bro, it?
I still ask God, why me? Like, why me? Never would have thought it was as much work. But, you know, there's something we're all called. That's what I truly believe. We're all called. And it's up to us if we want to answer the call. And so you don't make money in events. Events, you know, some people like it because, you know, you can build your brand off of it, this, that, and the other. But, you know, for me, I want to bring restoration to the industry. And that event kind of went off. But one thing that has changed my life is events. I can 100% say that. I went to my first IRE in 2010. Met some incredible people. You know, one person I met at that event, Steve Little, who you know very well.
Yeah, Chad knows him.
Yeah, incredible man and leader. And so I got to rub elbows and meet and network with leaders in the industry, and I continue to do that. I'm now on the board of IRE. Like, that's how much I believe in it. And, you know, so those impact the industry and they can change your life. And so I'm a huge believer in it. So I saw the storm restoration industry. It's very fragmented. It's very wild, wild west. And there are some really great people in that industry. And I didn't like also how retail and professional roofing looked at storm. They looked at us as like the bad guys, as like stormers. And it's just like, dude, we are so important to America. When a major catastrophe hits, when, you know, a huge tornado, hellstorm, hurricane, local markets can't handle that capacity. And so that's where experts, hopefully, come into the market and they can take on some of that work and restore the home. And that's such an important part. But we have to do better as an industry because there's the contractor carrier conflict that seems to just be getting worse and worse. And so for me, I'm like, hey, we need to bridge these together and we need to really find common ground of these industries, because you have carrier and contractor, then you have the customer at the center of that. So how can we make it a better experience for all parties involved? And how can we rally people to professionalize this industry and be the change they want to see? So for me, I felt this was a calling. It was a purpose for me. I've been in this industry for 18 years, and this industry has changed my life. And so I want to give back to this industry, and I want people to have that same opportunity I had. I met some of my best friends at Win the Storm. The amount of people that are like, Win the Storm changed my life because of who they met, what they learned. I didn't want that to go away. So I felt like it was my responsibility to put it on my back when, no, I didn't have freaking time for it. Like, right now I'm missing out on some of the biggest opportunities in one of my businesses. that like I've ever seen or had, and it's still going, but it's like costing me many millions of dollars to do this. But this is a calling. The money will always come later. Not worried about it, but I want to bring this industry to a place where people trust and rely on this industry, and that we have professional roofers, right? Not stormers, professional roofers that respond when major catastrophes happen. And so it's my duty, it's my calling to bring in these high level people to come in, to share their best practices, and to give back to the industry that's given them so much, and to really build the future. And so that's really the calling, is just to bring the best people in a room and let's share best practices. Let's elevate the industry and let's do good and to be the change in your community. One thing my call to action last year was to be the change, to serve your communities. I had 164 companies commit to community service. I had one who, you know, Jay Haynes, right?
Yep.
You know, yeah. And you know, his reps were in there. He wasn't even in that call to action. His reps together had come up with something. Since when the storm, they've raised over $100,000 for community service projects and things that were important to their heart. And so they're actually committing their commission to that. And there's so many other stories of people that have been the change in their community, and no one's coming to save us. We can't rely on the government to heal our communities. And, you know, the trades are such a massive opportunity. This is our moment. This is our time to give back to the community, raise awareness of like, we're the good guys. This is an opportunity you should look at for the future. And so really it's just to rally people together, come to the trades and be the change.
Yeah. And I like that, because you're not just like that. That is the foundation of it. But you're also now trying to mix in this restoration, this retail. Like, so you're trying to make it be more than just about, you know, the storm business, the insurance, yeah, business, like that. So that's part of it, where that's just a slow roll, right? Because yeah, it's a slow roll. But but early on, like I did a presentation maybe 3 years ago, main stage presentation on how to make it rain when there is no storm. And it was my shot at trying to teach, hey, while everybody's focused on this here, there's still this massive chunk of retail over here. But what I didn't understand when I did that, I was naive. What I didn't understand was that there's two completely separate processes and sales processes. And it, like, mm-hmm, this one's more like project management. This one's like straight sales, right? And this one, you might want to focus on some financing. And this one over here, you're focusing on the insurance, and both of them exist. I just didn't realize how difficult it was. And that salesperson is different than this person. And so it's probably a little premature on it,
it's to bring information, because a lot of retail contractors, they don't understand storm. Storms hit their market and they just don't deal with it. So it's a way for them to better understand the industry, best practices. Then when it comes to storm contractors, they want more predictable revenue. They don't want to be feast and famine. So they want to figure out, how do I bolt on revenue that's consistent and that's retail, that's not storm related? And so that's, you know, I've been in both sides of the industry my entire career. And so that's where, you know, I'm bringing some incredible retail roofing companies, home improvement companies that are coming to share their best practices. So at the end of the day, you can have hybrid models. It works, but you have to know who your customer is, who are you serving, and what are the processes required to run a successful business with that process.
Love it. Well, listen, I know that this is a ton of work for you to do it, you know, and it was a big risk. It's a huge risk to take this thing on. But I am encouraging anybody who's listening, who's had any interest, you know, in this roofing space. And by the way, a lot of, you know, Chad and I's friends, you know, have also gotten involved in roofing, but a lot of listeners are kind of going down that path too. But go check it out. And if nothing else, that's also kind of cool to learn something that you might be able to take back and like implement in your vertical. But maybe just real quick, so just for the sake of time, because I know Chad's got to get boogie in, but best way for somebody wants to check out, you know, the conference, just go to the website. And then, I mean, listen, it's not till August 20th.
Yeah, August 20th through the 22nd in Dallas, Texas. You can go to winthestorm.com. So that's winthestorm.com. You can find it there. And there's a 40% discount going right now. I don't know when this will air, but right now there's a 40% discount on there.
And we'll make sure it airs ahead of time. Well, listen, dude, I appreciate the heck out of you. I'm glad you and I have starting to become a lot closer. And, you know, I didn't quite know exactly which way I wanted to go with this, you know, with this episode, other than like focusing on some of your sales stuff, you know, for the majority of our listener base. But then, you know, we still have a decent chunk too that are in that restoration roofing business too that are listening. And so I'm excited to be there, dude. Like, I'm looking forward to it.
Charlie Kirk will be there if you like Charlie Kirk. He's a champion for the trade, so he will be there. So if you don't like him, don't listen to his talk, but come connect with everyone else.
There you go. Well, congrats, bro, on putting this whole thing together, and I appreciate you giving us time. And I meant it. Chad, we got to get Josie to come in our market and show us what's up.
Yeah, no doubt. I got that note written down.
Hey, we've got a Schmedium Redbird Roofing shirt waiting for you. And whatever you need, bro. Yeah.
Hey, you want the gun show, baby.
Yeah.
Shit. All right. Well, Jesse, I appreciate you, brother. I'm glad we finally made it happen.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. This is awesome. And Chris, all that you do for the industry, and Chad, is definitely a pleasure getting to meet you. And I guess I'll see you sometime around.
Hopefully. Absolutely.
Storm, Chad.
Yeah.
I had to get him down there. Well, listeners, hopefully you're able to at least take something away from this too. And if it's in the sales stuff that you're talking about, or just making sure that you can leverage even technology to start to pair the right salesperson with the right job, like whatever it is, hopefully you learned something. So you don't got to do everything, but you got to do something. No 0 days. Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show. So stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.